I have heard some strange claims I don't understand about how this is going to bring real estate prices down. I definitely don't agree with that. That's supply and demand, and this isn't going to change supply and demand any. Hey everyone, it's Brian Eisenhower. I hopped on today just because of some news that just hit this morning with regards to the National Association of Realtors, NAR, settling their price fixing or alleged price fixing lawsuit that has kind of rocked the industry. And my phone's been off the hook and everybody's been asking questions, so I thought I'd put a video together to answer some of those. Been researching it pretty hard, and I will say it's a lot of what we predicted. A couple things that took me by surprise a bit, the way it shook out. A couple things first that before I flesh through this and explain to you as concisely as I can how that's going to impact the real estate industry. Number one, understand the court still needs to approve this lawsuit or the settlement agreement, and that could change and tweak things. It also remains to be seen if the Department of Justice claims and actions against NAR and the industry are going to be alleviated by this lawsuit. No one's really talking about that yet. I would certainly hope that would be an aspect of this, so we don't have to make a whole new set of changes later to the way we practice. And lastly, I'll say that any of these changes are not expected to go into effect until mid-July of 2024. So you will have a lot of time for your state and local associations to adapt and tell you exactly how you're specifically going to change the way you do business, because this is going to vary from state to state a little bit, because there's different state laws and you have different state forms and different ways you practice a tad. But generally speaking, I think we're all going to get impacted kind of the same way here. Eisenhower Coaching's Custom Training Suite is your company's own custom branded training website loaded with Eisenhower Coaching's powerful training courses for real estate agents, teams, and brokerages. With video lessons, audio lessons, downloadable course workbooks, scripts, tools, and systems, with quizzes and action steps for accountability and implementation, managers can also monitor agent performance with detailed reporting. Agents can earn certificates and degree designations abbreviated after their name in signature lines, online profiles, and marketing. Easily create your own customized courses for local topics like file compliance, MLS systems, contracts and disclosures, CRM training, and new agent orientation. Use ICC's course training materials in your own office training rooms with our downloadable and printable student workbooks, instructor's manuals, instructional training videos for each class lesson. The Custom Training Suite is your own custom branded training system that is changing the game for real estate teams and companies everywhere. First of all, the big thing I want to get out there is, what do you tell your clients? Okay, so when your clients are saying, hey, when you're talking about commissions, does this mean I keep seeing commissions are going to be slashed and commissions are going to be cut? And I think it's important we explain that is not the case. That's how this thing is being marketed, and that may be how they got the settlement in the first place. But no, this is just the decoupling of commissions. And I think that's a word that we should be using a lot more, is decoupling. For example, for a long time, an industry standard was 6%, right? You'd have a 6% commission, 3% paid to the buyer side, 3% paid to the seller side, or maybe it's 2.5% to one side and 2.5% to the other, or 2% to one side and 2.5% to the other. Whatever that may be, you'd add them together. Now we're splitting those up. We're decoupling them. So there's no longer a couple. We are going to pay the seller's agent and the buyer's agent individually. So that, so it does look like a lower amount. And that is, so much confusion has been around that. So it's very important to explain that to your clients. It's really a decoupling. This is not in any way lowering the amount that commissions are being paid, nor do I think that's what's going to occur from this at all. So that's a big one. We need to be able to explain that. That's the main thing that we need to explain to our clients to calm them down, is we are decoupling the commission. So yes, it sounds like a lot where you have one big amount and we're cutting, maybe we cut it in half or however it's split up. We're going to pay each agent from that same amount, total amount. And they're going to be paid individually, not going to be paid to the seller. And then the seller pays the buyer's agent a share of that. That's the first change. The other one that came out of it was there's going to be no more automatic offers of compensation in the multiple listing services. That's a big one. That's going to change the way we do business quite a bit. I think we'll be okay with it once we get used to it, learn the scripts and dialogues around it and change some forms around it. I think it does make a little bit of sense. And there could be some benefits from it as well, too. But basically, we're not going to have compensation, how much agents are being paid in MLS anymore. And that could be scary, because what that means is commissions are going to be negotiated per transaction, each time you write an offer, each time you accept an offer as a listing agent. So all of a sudden, we are really going to have to hone our negotiation skills quite a bit, which is kind of crazy. And I think the closest example to this, it already exists. If you wonder what this is going to look like, quite frankly, it's already existing in commercial real estate right now. The commercial real estate industry does not have automatic offers of compensation, and commissions are negotiated on each transaction. And it works just fine once you get used to it. It looks like, you know, that's where we're headed, assuming that this settlement does get approved, which in all likelihood it will, it sounds like. But yeah, it's per transaction we're going to be negotiating each commission. So, you know, one thing we've always coached and we've always trained on, and I know, you know, many of, you know, most of the associations of realtors out there have said too, is, man, we have got to get those buyer agency agreements signed up front. And most states are already rapidly creating new forms to that effect right now, or somewhere in it, it's saying the offer is subject to and contingent upon the seller reimbursing the buyer at closing whatever X percentage of the purchase price to pay the buyer's agent's compensation or buyer's closing costs or whatever that may be, right? So you're seeing that go into a lot of forms. And if your state hasn't done it yet, I'm sure it's coming really soon. And that's something you just need to get signed when you sit down in a buyer consultation. Or if not, you may not get a commission at all, right? So that's going to basically leave, you know, the buyer up to two situations. And this is where it starts to get a little scary if you're not used to it. Either the buyer is going to get paid because it's going to be negotiated in, could be negotiated out though. The seller could very easily say, hey, we're not going to pay the buyer agent's commission. And that's, you know, that could be a little bit scary out there. So it's going to be a lot of negotiating, and the buyer's agent's commission are going to be kind of at risk here. So you could add it to the purchase price, for example, or the buyer agent could pay it out of pocket if that doesn't happen. And there's quite a bit of other creative ways that can be done. And again, they're already being done in the commercial real estate industry. And hopefully listing agents actually help out with that and kind of prepare their sellers that there are going to be requests for compensation. And we're going to negotiate that together. But that's the main difference we're going to see there. You can see, though, this does exist in commercial real estate. And it sounds like, wow, this is going to be very tough. I don't know if this is good for the consumer. And I tend to agree with you. I don't think this is a good result for the consumer, even though this entire lawsuit was billed as trying to defragmentize the real estate industry for the benefit of the consumer, for them to pay less. I'm not quite sure I agree with that. But I will tell you this. The key now is to get listings, because if you're the listing agent, you get a lot of power. So the rich will get richer. If you are just a buyer's agent, you're going to be fighting for commissions on the regular. The key is to get listings, and you will control your compensation a lot more closely. So though, you know, it's always been the case in real estate. You know, it's always been whoever has the listings are the most successful agents. Now more than ever, though. Now more than ever, especially with regards to negotiating those listings, especially when there's low inventory. And boy, we are pretty much certainly going to have low inventory for a long time as well, too. I have heard some strange claims I don't understand about how this is going to bring real estate prices down. I definitely don't agree with that. I don't even see how that could even be any way inferred from anything that's happened in this lawsuit or any of these negotiations. That's supply and demand, and this isn't going to change supply and demand any. So yeah, that's a big one. The other one I think that could come out of this, I think the multiple listing services are going to lose a little bit of influence here. As we've seen with the settlement of many of the other national brands, none of the national brands that are included in the settlement, and I'll get over into who's included in the settlement and who's not here in a minute, but a lot of the national brands and their individual settlements have been unable to mandate or even encourage people to join NAR and the National Association of Realtors. So you will probably see a lot more pocket listings coming out of this and people not putting listings in MLS. I could see the influence of MLS decreasing, and you might see other people trying to fill that space. We've already seen a few, and you know, Zillow's long tried to be where everybody puts their listings. So we'll see if this applies to them and how they adjust. But offers of compensation will not be in those places, apparently. It'll be interesting to see how that impacts our multiple listing services and how we adjust. And, you know, the long argument is that, well, if we don't put it in MLS, you don't get the most exposure. And the way that MLS syndicates to all these other different sites, you get the most exposure for your listings. That's true. However, like I said, commercial real estate's been operating that way. I mean, yes, they have their LoopNets and their MetroScans and all of those other sites where they can make their listings visible to everyone. But if you look at almost any commercial real estate company's website, you'll see they have a lot of listings on their website that are not on LoopNet or any of those other national syndications too. So I think you're going to see a lot more pocket listings increase. You're going to see a lot more brokerages trying to save their sellers money, or at least saying they're trying to save their sellers money by trying to double end it and not pay out that buyer side commission. That could happen too. Not sure. We'll have to see how that plays out and how these other MLS alternatives. I think Umansky's got a new NAR alternative and an MLS alternative as well too. And like I said, these portals are, like Homes.com and Zillow.com are already kind of set up to operate as MLSs as well too. So we'll see if they try to fill that void too. It's going to be an interesting battle out there in the marketplace as well. Now, who is covered in the suit? Let me explain it to you this way. Again, don't freak out. I know it's a lot of change, people change. We'll get you through this, and your local states and associations are going to get you through it. We'll keep you updated, and we'll change. This is nothing mind bending. We just got to change how we do business a little bit. I don't see us like dying or getting paid less or anything like that. So that's good. If anything, you just feel sorry for me because I have to change half of our training materials and do a whole bunch of work I wouldn't have otherwise had to do. So you could send me flowers or something like that if you're personally worried about who gets hurt the most. I think I'm gonna go ahead and say that's me. Anyway, just kidding with that. Who gets covered in this? Just about all the national brands that were involved in the lawsuit are covered by it. All NAR members are covered. The one major brand that's not involved because they're still actively litigating it is Home Services of America, which commonly known as all the Berkshire Hathaway affiliates. They are still in this thing, so they are not covered under this settlement agreement. So they are still, they could be, they could, they could be actionable. We'll see what they're going to have to pay. All the NAR members, though, are. So all NAR members are covered. Also, the entities that own brokerages with a residential sales volume over $2 billion that did not already settle are not covered. So large indie brokerages that had sales volume higher than $2 billion, all the agents in the brokerage that are NAR members are covered. But the entity that owns it, usually an LLC, an LLP, or an S corp, or a C corp, or something like that, that entity is still kind of out there floating with a target on their back. They are not covered by this, right? But all the agents are. All the agents are. So rest assured on that one. So understand that is a big, big difference that's out there. I hope this helps you guys kind of understand the landscape here. Like I said, we will get through it. If there's updates to this, I'll give you more updates. We'll see how this goes. But otherwise, I think we got plenty of time to adjust and adapt, and real estate agents and the real estate industry will live on. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the Brian Eisenhower podcast. You can learn more about ICC at eisenhowercoaching.com. That's eisenhower.com. You can also enroll in one of our many online courses at icconlinelearningcenter.com. That's icconlinelearningcenter.com, where you'll find the most expansive real estate training library in the industry. We also offer custom training portals for real estate teams and brokerages looking to give all of their agents access to our expansive course list of courses and training systems. Some companies even take it one step further by purchasing versions of our courses and systems that are white label branded to their specific real estate organizations. Also, be sure to subscribe to Eisenhower Coaching's YouTube channel to watch new video content that we put out each and every week. And again, be sure to join the fastest growing Facebook group for top performing real estate professionals by searching for the Real Estate Agent Roundtable group. With all of that said, thank you again for joining us today, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Brian Eisenhower Podcast.